All right. And Sister Sanders, we are once again so happy to have her. We heard some excellent things here in the last week from Sister Sanders, and we are excited to hear what she has to share with us this morning. Sister Sanders, go right ahead.
Good morning, everyone. God is good. This is the day that He has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The sun's shining. We got up this morning. We have eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to talk. So God is good, and He's worthy to be praised. And I'm excited about being on this call today. I hope it's coming through. But I want to give honor to God, to Pastor and Sister Clark, for their awesome leadership, to each of our elders and leaders, and to all of the saints, the families. I just say thank God for you, and I praise the Lord for you. So this morning, I'd like to read Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28. And our focus scripture is going to be Romans 8, 28. And it reads, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Put together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Church, much good has come out of this pandemic. And you might say, what are you talking about? Don't you know that hundreds of thousands of people have lost their lives and huge numbers of people are dying every day? The economy is in shambles and supplies are scarce. Millions of people are out of work and businesses are shuttered. Major meat companies have had to close their doors in recent days because of the outbreak. We don't know who may be asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic, and there's nowhere to go to escape COVID. And even though some areas of the country are flattening and seeing downward trends in curves, other areas of the country may suddenly become new hotspots. I can't go to church. I can't see my friends and family. I can't go to Disneyland, the park, the beach, the mountains, or out to eat, or to meetings or conferences or shopping, et cetera, et cetera. How can you possibly say that much good has come out of this pandemic? First of all, the Bible is right, and God's word is true. The word of God says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." In Numbers 23:19, it lets us know that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 1 Samuel 15:29 tells us, "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." In Titus, it tells us, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." In Hebrews 6:18 lets us know that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Malachi 3:6, God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Luke tells us in Matthew also that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The psalmist tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And 2 Corinthians 1:20 lets us know, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Hebrews 10:35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I know just last week or so I told you that I felt like I was in jail. But I've had plenty of opportunity to pray and read the Bible. And I got to hear from the heart of many people that I wouldn't ordinarily been able to hear from. And when Pastor or Sister Clark is preaching or teaching, I am paying closer attention than I've ever had. And I have a greater appreciation for the church, for each message and messenger, for the praise team, the musicians, for those that handle the audio video, for the leaders, for the youth, the children, the ladies, the administrators and the workers, and for Truth Church, because we have an awesome church and an awesome God and an awesome pastor and pastor's wife who's leading us in this last day revival, and I believe the best is yet to come. But as I'm shut in and I look around the house, I see windows that need to be cleaned, globes on the ceiling, fans that need washing, knickknacks and crystal that need to be cleaned, furniture that needs to be polished, vents that need to be cleaned, a filter that needs to be replaced, etc., etc. Lots of projects that need attention. Likewise, this situation has caused me to do an internal search and inventory. In Romans 14:10, it lets us know that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And Jesus tells us that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The Revelator John tells us, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." The Bible admonishes us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, to prove our own self. But let a man examine himself, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. This situation makes me pray. I pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we're chugging along, then life throws us a curveball. It gets us off center. It knocks us for a loop. It leaves us reeling and flailing in an effort to regain our footing. We're perplexed and off balance. So what do? We pray, pray, pray. We fast and seek God through his word. We seek God for his help. That's our strength. Our weakness becomes our strength. God makes up the deficit that is in us, and he is glorified through us. When we're crushed by life's circumstances, we emit a sweet-smelling savor or aroma that pleases God when we turn to him. And with God on our side, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and we need not fear. We become cognizant with experiential knowledge, not just with head knowledge, that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. None of the perils of life listed in the following verses in Romans chapter 8, you know, life, death, angels, principalities, powers, all those things, none of those things will overcome us. Instead, we overcome them with God's help. Oh, yes, saints, much innumerable good has come out of this pandemic. And I'm sure if we sit down and take out a little time, that we can think of many more things, good things, that has come out of it. So I just want you to know that I love you today. I am praying for you. You have been inspiring me with your words of faith, with your actions, and I love each and every one of you. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Sanders. Church, I want you to know we heard the word today. I'm not sure how many verses Sister Sanders read from, but we heard the word today. You know, as Sister Sanders was speaking this morning, I couldn't help but to think, Sister Sanders, that Elder Sanders was a man of the word, and so is Sister Sanders. Church, I hope you were blessed this morning. It was powerful, powerful. And with that said, you know what, why don't we go ahead and close up right now with prayer. And I say close up, well, I should say, why don't we start this day with prayer after this great word that we heard with Sister Sanders. Why don't we just thank God for this great encouragement, and let's continue to be prayerful, and let's pray right now and thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great word that Sister Sanders has delivered from her heart, Lord. We can feel her urgency and her desire to make sure that she's able to impart this great message of faith and encouragement. We feel your spirit even praying right now, Lord God. We thank you for it, and we ask you to continue to keep your hand upon your people throughout the day. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. And with that said, church, remember, we have church tonight. We'll be starting at 7 p.m., and we will see you on the call at that time. Praise the Lord. And everyone said, amen.